Ow. Standard time on the East Coast. It's perfect football weather, and you know where you're at, and this is the place to be at. I am JT, a.k.a. The Master, and this is The Master Plan. The number to call in is 347-637-3220. 347-637-3220 is the place to be if you want to talk to me. We also have the chat room. The chat room is always open for your distinctive pleasure. If you have a question, comment, or want to make a statement in the chat room, that's the place to be if you don't want to talk to me. We got a great show in store for you today. I'm going to be talking about fantasy football quite naturally. I'm going to be talking about a lot of things. A star running back that may be on a decline. I'm going to be talking about some pickups that may help you today and in the future, especially if you are in the playoffs. And we're going to go over each game and run down the players in each game. Now, I'm not picking winners or losers. I'm just picking players because this is fantasy football. I'm not about picking teams. This is not the day for that. Yesterday was the day for that. Was on the FSP show, FSP with Vic Gardner as the host and me as the co-host. Today is fantasy football all the way. All right, let's get this show started. Well, once and all, let me put it this way. I do have a caller on the line. So I'm going to bring this caller in and before we get started and see what he has to say, and then we'll go from there. Caller from the 919, caller from the 919. Welcome to the Master Plan. State your name and what you got to say.
You know it's me. It's Mr. FFP doing what I do gonna do for you and everybody else who loves me too. What's going on, JT, ATM Money?
Hey, my man. How you doing? How's it going?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good. You need to check your text. I just sent you something. Because,
yes, I saw the text. I answer all calls. So regardless of who's calling in, I answer all the calls. Doesn't make a difference.
I know. I'm saying that's we want to call. Because he called me last night.
No. I make no calls to no one. Tell if he's going to go call in. I'm not chasing anybody. I'm sorry. I am not chasing anybody. Up. I don't have to chase because he is calling in. Okay. Hold on, Mr. Gardner. First of all, we do have our esteemed founder of FSP, Mr. Vic Gardner, on the line. And I'm going to set this up. He happens to be going back and forth with a coworker. And he called his coworker out. In fact, he literally called his coworker yesterday on the FSP show and got his voicemail. And I jumped in, and I
being
wasn't
rude.
Well, what can I tell you? That's what I do. I'm the co-host. I'm the nasty co-host, and he plays the ever equalizer, whatever, as the host. And I called him out saying he has a little bit more estrogen than he has testosterone. And now he's on the line, and I know he's going to come at me, but that's fine. And he's probably going to come at Vic. That's fine. I'm going to bring him on the line.
No.
And Mr. Victor, it's on you.
Yeah.
We'll start with on you, then we'll go from there.
All right,
ladies and gentlemen. Caller from the 630, welcome to the Master Plan. State your name and what you have to say.
Hey, it's EJ Cornwell here. Hey, guys, I appreciate you guys taking my call. I do appreciate you guys calling me out yesterday, there, FST and JT. And the first thing I want to say is I appreciate you guys having me on your show. You know, it's been a year in the making, this date. We've been talking about this for a year. So, you know, on this great Sunday morning, I'm going to come spit some fantasy gospel to you. I'm Reverend Fantasy, Mr. Cornwell here.
Reverend Fantasy, Mr. Cornwell. Oh boy.
Let me do this.
This is going to be good. Go ahead, Victor. Go ahead.
Okay. Now, let me set this up a little bit. JT is the master plan for his football and sports prowess. Fantasy gospel, or gospel fantasy, whatever EJ wants to call, Ernest wants to call himself, he claims to have just as much, if not more, knowledge. So today, the two will pit off against each other on who the starts and sits. Because Ernie, he don't want me to call him Ernie. Caldwell says he has some great starts and sits and some stuff we might not know about. So this right here will be the master versus the guru. Number two, I'm the guru. So,
You know, this is an easy W for the guru here, you know.
Okay.
Only thing I'm going to say is I heard a little birdie, you know, they invited me on the show. For one, they were calling me out. But two, what I really heard was I heard ratings were down, so you needed a third person to come in and actually tell what's going on in the world.
Oh, my God.
Hey, Jerry.
I don't know if that's true or not.
Jerry, you may have your way with this woman. I mean, with this fantasy Jesus.
Let's start it off.
Can we start it off like this? I'm not really here to battle with you guys. I'm really just here to talk fantasy with you guys.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not
no
here
problem.
To cause
no, no,
no.
No, no,
no.
No
hostilities. I know you guys have hostilities with me. I don't know why.
No,
I'm a faithful listener of the show.
Hey, my man, Ernie, the Reverend of Fantasy, what you want to call yourself or whatever you want to call yourself, I have no hostility. I don't even know you, my man, so I don't have any hostilities toward anyone I don't know. So it's an open book.
Just me and my rivalry goes back with me and Mr. FSP, so even though we have a love-hate relationship, it's like this love-hate relationship between us. But, you know, he knows who the real deal is. I will confess this, he did beat me in the championship of fantasy last year in our league, so... I'll lay the groundwork for that. So I do value what he says. I do value somewhat.
Let me tell you something there, Ernie. Fantasy, part of fantasy is skill, and part of fantasy, and I've always said this, is luck. So you can play fantasy, you can put players in place, and you can expect them to do whatever they need to do, what they would normally do, but there's always fluky things that happen with your best players at the worst time. So part of fantasy, even in a championship, you can put the right players that you think, and most people think, in the right spot, but you still have to have a little luck at the end of the day in order to even get a win from week to week or get a championship. I've always said that.
But
I still say, excuse me?
You just backhanded me, didn't you, Jerry?
No.
I appreciate that, JT. Hey, man, you speaking the truth, brother, on this Sunday morning. You speaking the truth.
That's right. Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm here to testify. It's Sunday morning. I'm here to testify.
Go ahead and get real. Go tell the people how to get their minds right on this good, fancy Sunday, huh?
Exactly. All right. Anyway, let's go to the first game. And this is a very interesting game. because the fact is we've talked about this wide receiver in detail yesterday, Mr. Gardner, and this is apropos to bring in the first game with the Steelers and the Browns, and Browns hosting the Steelers. Now, Ben Roethlisberger has been super hot the last few weeks, and he's 15-1 against the Cleveland Browns. In my opinion, Ben Roethlisberger is a definite start in this game. Le'Veon Bell, I know Cleveland's been stiff against the run, but I would start Le'Veon Bell, not as a running back one, maybe a low running back two, but definitely a flex play because he's involved in the passing game. Now, Heath Miller's a different story. He's been Ben Roethlisberger's crutch when he needs to get bailed out, but he's not the same guy before the ACL. I mean, after the ACL, that he was before the ACL. Ben Roethlisberger's main guys lately have been Jericho Cotri, who's in my opinion a wide receiver three, and Antonio Brown, who's in my opinion is a wide receiver two. Okay. Even though Antonio Brown has been, I think, if I'm not mistaken, he's gotten the most targets in the NFL. And he's definitely been on the same page as Ben Roethlisberger. Now, he's going up against the shutdown corner in Joe Hayden. So in most venues, I'm talking about ESPN, CBS, NFL.com, Yahoo, they say sit Antonio Brown. Me? No. I understand it's Joe Hayden, but I don't say sit Antonio Brown. I say you start Antonio Brown. Just temper your expectations because he may not be like he was last week or prior weeks because he's going up against Joe Hayden. On the other side, now I happen to have both these wide receivers on one of my fantasy squads, in fact, a couple of fantasy squads. I'm talking about Josh Gordon on the other side. I say start Josh Gordon. He's going up against Ike Taylor. I think that's a better matchup, even though there's a downgrade in the quarterback in Jason Campbell, who I don't think is startable material. But you do start Josh Gordon. Just temper your expectations because Josh Gordon is the number one wide receiver, so quite naturally Pittsburgh is going to try to shut him down. Cameron Jordan hasn't been performing up to snuff in the last few weeks. I think he's probably going to be a little bit better this week. Even though Jason Campbell is not a great short passing quarterback. His forte is throwing down the field. So I say you start Josh Gordon, and if you don't have any, and for most people, you still start Jordan Cameron because the fact is he is a top tight end. Now, there's the other factor in here, and I'm talking about Chris, I hate saying his name, Agbayani. He is a flex option. Let me put it that way. He's a flex option. I don't expect him to do too much, even though Pittsburgh can be run on. I don't expect him to do too much. But if you don't have any other choices, you can put him as a really, really low-end RB2 or definitely a flex option. Now, I'm going to wait for Mr. Gardner because I'm going to defer to Mr. Ellington and see what he has to say about my analysis in the first game
Wellington,
right off the bat.
His name is it's not Ellington, dude.
What is it?
Just call him it's Ernest. Just call him Reverend Fantasy, whatever
you
want to
be called.
Call
me whatever
Fantasy,
you
no
want
problem.
To call me. Just don't call me late for lunch. That's how you.
No problem. Me. Okay. No problem. Talk to me, my man. Where is my analysis?
All right, JT.
Floor?
Let me spit a little gospel for you this good Sunday morning. As a guy from the Cleveland area, I do love my Browns. I love them with all my heart. But when it comes to fantasy, it's like ripping your heart out, right? So I do like the Josh Gordon start. I agree with what you said about that. I think he's due for a big game. I don't like Jason Campbell. in this game at all.
Mm-hmm.
Really, I'm going to be honest with you. I know what you said. Temper your expectations. I agree solely with everything you said. I really do not like the matchup for the for Ben Roethlisberger against that Browns defense. It's pretty stingy. The top five defense. And they don't give up much. Even though last week they gave up 41, they their offense shot them in the foot by turning the ball over and giving opposing offenses short field. So really from a fantasy aspect, Antonio Brown, yes, I would start him, but temper your expectations. Le'Veon Bell, I don't like the matchup at all. If I had another option, I would go another way. As far as I look for one guy on the Steelers' offense to emerge, it would be Emmanuel Sanders in this game. I think he could be the a number two receiver start for somebody if you're looking for some receiver help. I think his matchup favors a big fantasy day compared to his counterpart Antonio Brown. You got anything on that, FSP?
All right. I listened to MP and FG, whatever. Here's what FSP has to say.
Okay, go ahead.
Here's what I got to say. Again, JT is absolutely right. We talked about this wide receiver extensively yesterday, and Mr. Taylor seems to think he's the number one wide receiver, even though he is not in today. Mr. Taylor even admitted he's a number two in fantasy land. But I say he's a number two in real world, even though he happens to be the number one receiver on the team of the Steelers. I think last week was a fluke for him. Yes, he occasionally is a big boom, but more often than not, he is a bust. So playing Mr. Brown versus Cleveland defense, don't expect a lot. Joe Hayden's going to lock that ass down. Jericho Cotchery, again, as I said yesterday, is the guy that you want to focus in on if you're going to take on a Pittsburgh Steeler wide receiver, if you have to. Le'Veon Bell. Le'Veon Bell is okay runner. He needs another year to get better. To go against the Cleveland Browns run defense, I don't expect much. I really don't. If you have a better option, take it. If not, as Jerry said, low end number two flex running back. As far as Big Ben goes, now Andy Dalton shredded Cleveland's defense in a rainstorm. In a rainstorm in Cincinnati. Now, I believe this game is in Cleveland. So
yes,
the Steelers are kind of bad. Kind of bad. That means the receiver's going to make some cuts, and the DB's going to have some extra long cleats on or something in order to keep up. Ike Taylor, yeah, he can lock on to Josh Gordon. But Ike isn't as fast as he used to be. But he has some help. He has Ryan Clark, and he has Troy Polamalu back there to help double team. So the person that I'm looking for and need to have a good game in this one is Mr. Jordan. Jason Campbell needs to develop a relationship with that tight end because right now he's going to be his best friend. Little drops the ball too much. Okay, Gordon had like three or four drops last game. Devon Best leads the league in drops. So if you're not throwing the ball to Abignani or Willis McGahee, you got to get it to Cam Jordan. You got to.
Jordan Cameron.
Thank you. Jordan Cameron. In this game, it's going to be sloppy. I believe it's going to be raining, if I'm not mistaken, because the weather up there.
I don't expect many points in this game overall.
You know what? I don't expect it, but you never know. You never know. I guess he may be a 17-13 game.
Yeah, I'm thinking 17-13, 20-17 at most.
Well, that's what I said on this game. And I got one suggestion, JT. One suggestion.
What's that?
Let's hear what the fantasy guru has to say about a game, and then we give our analysis off of his analysis.
Well, let me run my show, because
I'm sorry.
talked about this Steeler Brown game before. We had talked about Antonio. That's why I wanted to expound on that first. And then go from there. I was going to go rotate this, okay? Now,
okay.
We have the next game, which is another game that interests you and I, but I'm going to defer to the fantasy guru, the new caller we have on here, because I wanted him to give his analysis on both sides of the ball, who he would play, and where they would sit at in rankings, of whether it's a 1-2 or whatever, or a flex, in the whatever skill position they are. I'm talking about the next 1 o'clock game on the docket, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at the Detroit Lions. Fantasy guru, the podium is yours.
Okay. Well, I appreciate that, JT, man. Hey, look, here. Even though the Buccaneers are stinking up the joint, they've looked good in the last 2 weeks. I think we can all agree with that, right?
Yes.
So I'm going to tell you, my fantasy sleeper is my sleeper pick of the week. I like Mike Glennon against this Detroit defense. Hey, Mike Glennon's been throwing the ball all around the field. He's been throwing it all around the field. And I'm going to tell you also, they got this guy, Bobby Rainey, at running back. He's led the NFL in the last 2 weeks in touches. He's averaging like 30 touches a week. I'm going to tell you, those two guys against that Detroit defense, which I'm not really sold on, I think we're going to get some major points for you today. On the offensive side also, I'm going to say Vincent Jackson coming off a big week last week. Mike Glennon kept looking for him. He was like the only guy in the passing game that was getting targeted. He had like 15 targets for like 10 grabs for like $1.53. I'm going to tell you now, Vincent Jackson against that secondary for the Lions, he's going to eat them up today. I expect big things from him. Anywhere, I think, from a 14 to a 18 spot fantasy-wise this week. And then on the other side of the ball, I like Matthew Stafford, of course. He's like the poor man, Peyton Manning. You ain't never going to bench this guy, right? So you got to start him week to week. The guy I thought might have a monster game today, but I don't know. He just don't look like the same back, and I don't know if it's just he's had so many touches throughout the year. It's Reggie Bush. He just don't look like the same old Reggie Bush, guys. What do you think?
Oh, I think Reggie Bush, especially on turf, is going to have a big day. I know Tampa Bay's defense is pretty stiff, but he also is involved in the passing game, which helps open up Calvin Johnson and vice versa. I think Reggie Bush, he looked bad last week, bad
he
weather.
It looks like he's lost a step, pepping a step, I think, because he's been worked, he's been their workhorse on offense other than Megatron. He's the guy who's no one on that team has as many touches as him. He has 50 more touches than anybody else on that offense.
Yeah, I know that. But it seems like he's built for turf. He built, definitely built, in my opinion, built for that offense. He's a different back on grass versus the turf. And quite naturally, he's a much different back when it's off turf, even though he claimed he's a mutter. Obviously, he wasn't very effective last week, and that's one of the reasons. Besides him fumbling the ball, he's only fumbled 3 times all year. So I think when the coach benched him last week is because of his ineffective play in that type of field versus Joique Bell. So I think back on turf, especially when Reggie's motivated to prove that he's that back, he's got some extra motivation to prove to his coach that that he can do it, and he's also come out and said that he made a guarantee that he's not going to fumble the ball anymore for the rest of the year. So I don't know how that's going to hold true,
JT,
but we'll see what happens.
Hey, JT, let me give you a little insight. My buddy Adam Scheffner over at ESPN just told me he could be motivated for this game because Kim Kardashian's in town.
Oh, my God. Let's move on.
Breaking news from Reverend Fantasy. I figure I'd throw it out there.
Reverend Fantasy. Okay, I remember his name.
But okay. I think Megatron being on Revis Island, you think that's going to slow him down?
No.
Yeah,
no.
I do.
I think there's no slowing down Megatron, but if I'm the Bucks defense, I'm having help over top every play. I'm double teaming this guy because there's nobody else on that offense that he's going to throw the ball to other than Reggie Bush.
Yes, there is Fantasy Guru, Fantasy Reverend, or whoever you want to call yourself. Victor, you go ahead. I think you're going to steal my thunder. I'm going to let you go ahead, and then we'll go from there.
All right, Nate Burleson returns today.
Thank you.
Pizza incident. So
I guess he got his pizza finally, right?
I think so. But the thing is, he's another security blanket for Megatron. Now that means the corner opposite of Revis is going to have a lot of one-on-ones with Nate Burleson.
He's going to be in the slot.
Yeah. Well, he's going to be moving around in the slot because Durham's out there too. Durham isn't as dependable just yet, but he's got the same stature of Megatron. Now, this is an interesting game, very interesting game. Jerry said we both have a interest in it. I don't believe Detroit's going to win it because I believe, as you said, Reverend Fantasy, that Tampa Bay's coming in. I told him yesterday on the show, put up 30-something points on Seattle, in Seattle. That speaks volumes. You can come back and destroy Atlanta.
Yeah, they're playing some ball right now, definitely.
The one thing I got to disagree with you on is I don't think Vincent Jackson's going to have that big of a game again like he did last week. The reason why is because I just have a feeling. I have a feeling that they're going to give Vincent Jackson the Megatron treatment. Double him up. Corner under, safety over, and they're going to force Glennon to go to a guy that broke out a couple weeks ago but has been very silent. The White, the tight end. I think he's going to force him to check
Tim
it down
Wright.
To the tight end.
Tim Wright.
Tim Wright. I think they're going to force him to check it down to him a lot, and that's going to give him an opportunity because Detroit isn't that good at covering the tight end. Now,
that's
Bobby Rainey, very, very good point there. If Bobby Rainey has touched the ball on 30 times in the last couple games, for PPR, especially in the league that I run, that's fantasy goal just by him getting the ball. That doesn't count his yards or his touchdowns. And I think he's going to score today. Mike Glennon, he has been on fire as of late. Jerry and I had this discussion, I believe, a week or so ago when he was in a dilemma on who to pick up off the waivers if he made a certain trade. And I told him to get Mike Glennon because he's the best option out there on his waiver wire. I hope you listened to me, JP.
Yes, I did.
In this game, even though it's in Detroit, you know, I'm hoping Detroit loses all their games. Because at first I thought they had like an easier schedule, but all the teams left on their schedule, they're turning around and they're boning up. You know, they're coming up, they're coming a little hard. So there's a chance that Detroit might not have the endings that a lot of people want them to have.
Stop.
The game right here because Tampa's buying in. They're buying in the Shiano. They're buying in. And that's dangerous. Because if they're buying into that guy and his methods and his attitude that come out on the field, it's not going to be just an extra push here and there from the Detroit Lions on Vincent Jackson. It's going to be some extra pushing and tugging on Megatron too. You're going to see some dirty play on both sides of the ball. I look for Tampa to win the game with a little excitement at the end.
I think you're right, Mr. Gardner. Both these teams are their coaches. Are defensive-minded coaches, and both their defenses reflect that. and they have a nastiness about them. Quite naturally, it's documented with Detroit, and it's also a little documented with Tampa Bay. So this may be a flag-oriented game because of the not just implications, but because of the way these two teams approach themselves on defense. There's one guy that you guys didn't think about on the Tampa Bay side that I didn't say you think about. You didn't mention.
Hi, Quan.
Now, just I let you listen to you. Now, can I jump in here and just interject my little tidbit here? That Tyquan Underwood, okay, because he's taken over for Mike Williams, who's out, has been, I wouldn't say he's been highly inconsistent, but he's been getting steady targets over the last few weeks. And because of Vincent Jackson breaking out quite naturally last week and Mike Glennon targeting him that much more, Detroit will have a tendency to treat Vincent Jackson like a Calvin Johnson with more than one DB on him, which would leave Tyquan Underwood open along with Tim Wright. So, and we know that Mike Glennon has a big arm and he likes to throw the ball down the field. And even though Tim Wright is a very athletic tight end, he's not a wide receiver with the athleticism like Tyquan Underwood. And so I can see him taking shots with Mike Glennon taking shots with Tyquan Underwood. So if you're hurting for wide receivers, it would be a reach to put him in a flex spot. I would put Tyquan Underwood in a wide receiver 3. Or more, if you have more than two wide receivers positions on your team. If you're looking for some upside, because in my opinion, I think this game is going to be a high-scoring game. I really believe that. I know these two defenses are nasty, but they can't cover on the passing side.
You're right, JT.
I think this is going to be a high-scoring game there. So. They can't cover on the high, on the passing end, and I think there's going to be some opportunities down the field on both sides, Detroit and Tampa Bay, for these two big arm quarterbacks to throw the ball down the field. Let's move on to the Vikings and Packers, and Mr. Gardner, you are up on deck for this one.
Not a problem. FSP is always in the building. Vikings and Packers, again, I look at this game, as I said yesterday, as a battle of the running backs. It's not going to be the passing game that a lot of folks want to see. Scott Tolzien, he's not that guy. Okay? I understand how Green Bay likes to groom all of its players, but he's no Aaron Rodgers. I do look for Boykin to get a lot of targets in the game. I do look for Jordy Nelson to get a lot of targets in the game. Now, will he actually produce? I don't know, because that Minnesota defense sucks royally. The secondary is fooled immensely. But again, a running game, because Lacy is a bowling ball of butcher knives, and he can, you know, plod through there. You're going to see this, to me, let me put it this way. This is an IDP-rich fantasy game. Individual defensive player fantasy game, because your linebackers are going to have to make so many tackles in this game that it's going to be, it's just, you get E.J. Henderson, you go get A.J. Hawk, you go get Clay Matthews.
Greenway.
Now, yeah, Greenway. But here's another guy that had a great game, I think a week ago, John Carlson. He stepped in admirably for Kyle Rudolph, but again, Christian Ponder is no friend of ours on this show. Fantasy wise, he gives the ball to the tight end big time. Again, the question is how much touch or how many touches will Toby Gerhardt get? Because they're saying AP has that growing issue. He also has another nagging injury. They're pretty much out of the playoffs. Will he get the ball a lot? They're going to feed him. They're going to feed the monster. They're going to feed the monster. So, you know, get ready for a bunch of AP left, AP right, AP up the middle. And that means there's going to be a lot of opportunities for the strong safety and linebackers to tackle him. Eddie Lacy the same way. On the opposite side, though, will Greg Jennings be an option? I say no. One, he's already questionable for the game. Two, Green Bay secondary isn't that bad. They can be thrown on. But Christian Ponder, he doesn't scare anybody. He's a manager. He's a game manager that can go medium to short efficiently. I didn't say effectively. I said efficiently. So in this game, I'm looking for Minnesota to win, but basically an IDP-rich game, in my opinion. Go ahead, Mr. Taylor.
No, I'll give it to the Reverend Fantasy.
Okay.
Hey, on this game, guys, like you said, from a fantasy aspect, I think it's going to be like watching paint dry. I don't think there's going to be much action. Christian Ponder, I wouldn't catch. You can't catch a cold from that dude.
That is true.
Honestly,
share my love.
Honestly, Tolzien puts up big numbers, but he's throwing for 300 yards in his last two starts, but he's throwing three picks a game. That's kind of nullifying what he's doing, and they're not really getting in the red zone. They're kicking a lot of field goals. FSP was dead on, man. I think the defense is in this matchup. If you're in the leagues where you're starting defensive players, I think the linebackers are going to have a monster day. Guys like A.J. Hawk, I think 10 tackle days. E.J. Henderson, 10 tackle games. But you're dead on about something. Now, usually me and FSP don't agree, but I'm going to tell you, Jared Boykin, I like him in this game from a fantasy aspect. He's averaged 7 receptions and 101 yards in the last two games with Scott Tolzien as quarterback. So I would say if you're in a league and you need a wide receiver too or even a flex, I'm going with Boykin in this. I think the running backs – situation are going to kind of nullify itself. I think they'll do their thing. AP's a little banged up, but I think against that defense, he can still squeak out 100 yards, and I think Eddie Lacy in the same aspect, 100-yard day, but as far as fantasy points-wise for those guys, those gentlemen, I don't expect a huge day. I don't know what you got, JT, but I'm going to go back to watching paint dry in this game.
Well, I share your thoughts on Christian Ponder, and I've been saying that for years, ever since he came into the league. One of the worst quarterbacks I've ever seen that starts on a consistent
basis. Oh, hey,
AJT,
hold on. They just called me. They want me to sign for the Vikings to play quarterback today. So.
You probably
so
do a better job
my
than
agent
Christian.
Real quick.
Yeah, you probably do a lot better than Christian Ponder. He is absolutely horrible. I don't
terrible.
See him to be on the Vikings next year. I really don't. I think they're going to draft a quarterback. I think they're going to clean house in the quarterbacks they have. They may keep Josh Freeman, but I think Christian Ponder and Matt Castle are history, and they're going to go in a different direction with the supposedly crop of new quarterbacks that are coming into the league next year from the college ranks. Anyway. AP, if you got him, you got to play him. I mean, he was the number one consensus pick for a lot of people. I hesitated, and I keep on saying this, I had hesitated about AP, and it's proven me right that this guy is not going to have this, even close to the same year he had last year year before.
JP,
huh?
I got to say something on that because I don't want to cut your thought off. But if you look at who's injured and who's playing now, all your top first-round draft picks in fantasy are out. Doug Martin.
Not all of them.
Not
all of them.
I say 7 out of the top 10. 7 out of the top 10.
Running back-wise, yeah.
Big disappointments.
Yes, yes,
but I'm
yes.
Go ahead.
Tell me if I was wrong about my analysis before the season started. I said two guys that I was really worried about was AP and Arian Foster. Arian Foster is
correct.
Now out, and AP mm-hmm. is not the same AP as he was last year or before he had the ACL. So
you're right.
The 2 years ago. And I hesitated on taking him in a few leagues. I had said I wanted Jamal Charles or LeSean McCoy for the most part, and those guys are proving me right. And AP and Arian Foster have proved me right. So I really wasn't high on AP. I took him in a couple of leagues, and I'm living to regret it because I should have gone in a different direction, but I digress. Anyway, in this, I have to agree with all you guys' analysis on the game and also on the players that are involved, especially the Minnesota Vikings. And on the Green Bay Packers, I have to agree because I think this is like just like the Reverend Fantasy said that it's going to be like watching paint dry. I don't think this is going to be too exciting. I think that both teams, because of the quarterback situation on both teams, are going to run the football for the most part. Even though Green Bay likes to throw the ball more, I think they're going to temper their expectations about what they're going to expect out of the passing game and try to rely more on Eddie Lacy with a little sprinkle of James Starks. So let's move on to the next game, which is the Chargers versus the pissed-off Chiefs playing in Kansas City. I'll take this one right off the bat. I think let's go on to the Philip Rivers side. Philip Rivers, for the most part, has been playing well, but lately he's been playing spotty. He's in San Diego. I mean, he's in Kansas City, and I do not think with a pissed-off Kansas City defense, Philip Rivers is going to be playing that well. Even though most people have been playing Philip Rivers as a starting quarterback, if you don't have any better options, which you probably don't have unless you've doubled up on your quarterbacks and you have someone that's better than Philip Rivers, you would have to play Philip Rivers in this. But I would say temper your expectations because this Kansas City defense and the Kansas City team as a whole is pissed off and ready to get back on the winning side in Arrowhead Stadium. I would say temper your expectations for Ryan Matthews, even though him and Danny Woodhead have been playing well the last 2 weeks. This is the Kansas City Chiefs, still the number one rated defense in the league. And the only team that beat him was the highest scoring team in the league, which was the Denver Broncos. So temper your expectations on any of your players that you have on the San Diego Chargers. Well, quite naturally, Philip Rivers is going to be thrown to Keenan Allen and Antonio Gates. Little tidbit here. Keenan Allen hasn't been playing well the last 2 weeks. After this week, especially in the fantasy playoffs, I think he's going to get back to his former form. I think he's got a pretty favorable schedule going down the stretch. So even though he may not be a wide receiver one, he's a possibility. He could be a wide receiver two and definitely a flex option in your fantasy playoffs. So that's just a little tidbit. On the other side, Alex Smith, he's not a starter against this. No. I mean, you can start him if you're in a pinch, like you set Russell Wilson and your backup with Alex. You're not playing Russell Wilson, and your backup is Alex Smith. Then you're going to play him against San Diego because of that. But he's not a really big option in here, even though Kansas City's schedule going into the fantasy playoffs. Week 14, 15, and 16 is pretty favorable going down the stretch. But you do definitely play Jamal Charles. And like I've said before, if you have Jamal Charles and you're in line to be in the playoffs, your best bet is to make sure that you have his backup if you don't have him by now, and that's Niles Davis, to ensure that if he goes down somewhere in the playoffs and you're able to move on to the next round, at least you have Niles Davis to take up the slack for Jamaal Charles because they run the ball a lot, and Niles Davis is a very good backup. Anyway, the other option I have in here is, and he's a wide receiver two, low wide receiver two, because he's getting targeted more lately on a wide receiver in a flex option, which is a Dwayne Bowe. So I'm going from there, and I'm going to go to the fantasy Reverend Fantasy, and then I'll go to Victor. Chargers and Chiefs.
All right. JT, I think you've been looking at my notes, man, even though we're dialed in. You been staring at my notes?
No, let me tell you, man.
Let me tell you something. One word in this game, Jamaal Charles. He's in a beast out. I don't think there's nothing that San Diego can do to stop this guy. I look for him to have a monster day today, I think. Easy, two touchdowns, 120-plus yards today. Now, like you said, there's been a Dwayne Bowe sighting. He's been performing the last 2 weeks. Alex Smith's numbers haven't looked too bad. He's been targeted a lot more. So I look for Dwayne Bowe to do some things in this game. Definitely as a flex option. I would definitely play him in a flex option. Now, the guy I would stay away from, I wouldn't touch him with a 10-foot pole, is Phillip Rivers in this game. You know, like you stated, he's a number one quarterback in a lot of leagues. That Kansas City defense is about to be taking a crap of Pombe Holly and Lamar Houston. Them guys are going to be so up in his butt that he's going to be pooping those guys out for the next week. So, and that's the truth. Those guys, them boys are pissed off after their showing last week. I think they're going to eat Phillip Rivers alive. I don't see nuts on that offense. I don't like no options, really. I don't like Danny Woodhead. I'm sitting him this week. I've never been really high on Ryan Matthews. But if I had to pick between him and Danny Woodhead, I'd probably pick Ryan Matthews in this game just because I think they're going to try to run the ball a little bit. I'm big on Keenan Allen, like you stated. I do like Keenan Allen a lot. I have him actually in me and FSP's league. And I'm still up in the air as of this morning if I'm going to start him or not. I'm not sure at a flex, but I just don't like the matchup. But I tell you on defense, defensive-wise, if you're in one of those leagues that have two defensive players like I have, I tell you what, the guy to have is Derek Johnson. I think Derek Johnson, this guy is he's all-world linebacker. He gets interceptions, and he just happens to be a ball magnet. The ball finds him a lot of times. He gets fumble recoveries, tackles for losses. He's a tackling machine. And also, I think my man Barry at safety could have a big day, too, coming up in the passing game. Because I think even though Kansas City doesn't put up a lot of points, I think their defense is going to play such a major role in this game that they're going to be up probably 17-3, and I look for that safety either come up with some interception or come up, he likes to come up in that run game and really tattoo people. So I think those two guys on the Kansas City defense are two guys to watch for this week.
Victor.
All right. I honestly want to say, Reverend Fantasy, you actually made some sense there, buddy. What I'm going to also say about this is that this game is it's a pick'em type for fantasy purposes. Danny Woodhead, he leads all running backs with 55 touches or catches out of the backfield. They're going to need him today to do that against that pass rush of Kansas City. Eric Berry is that dog. He's not panning out to be the fantasy IDP that I like, but he's still worthy of a start. But Tamba Ali, Chris Houston, I'm looking for him to have a pretty darn good game. The problem I see here is that the San Diego Chargers don't like to commit to the run. They don't. But they need to. They really need to commit to the run today, because if they don't, it's going to be turnover on downs, punting the ball, stuff like that.
Three and out
because, Kansas City, they're no slouch. they are no slouch on defense. Again, another game manager in Alex Smith, so play him if you must, but I'm quite sure you can find Ben Roethlisberger on somebody's waiver wire. You might even be able to find Mike Glennon on somebody's waiver wire.
I would go Casey Keenum.
Yeah, well, Casey Keenum, we ain't got the, oh, that's Jerry's team. We haven't gotten there yet, but I would get somebody that is better off at giving you some fantasy points, because right now people are doing their push for the playoffs, and Alex Smith is going to get you there. You know, the usual suspect as Jamal Charles, that guy, great. But look at some people that might make an impact on the opposite side in San Diego. Can you think of any? Good. Now they cannot. Only person I can actually say play, I wouldn't even play Antonio Gates unless he's my big-time tight end. That's what I mean by Kansas City defense is just that dominant in this game. I don't look for AG to do a lot in this game. He might get a lot of targets, but that's about it. So defensively, yes, Kansas City, play anybody you want. Offensively, I might even look at Donnie Avery. I might even look at him because he likes to get the ball a few times from Alex Smith because he goes underneath. When he does go deep, he goes to Donnie Avery. So that's just another little small thing. But, again, only if you don't have any other option. Just my thought.
And apparently you don't have any options if you're talking about Donnie Avery.
Yes. Exactly. Anyway, let's move on to the next game.
Remarks complete.
We're going to the Midwest. We're going to the Bears, who visit the St. Louis Rams. In my opinion, this is going to be another team game that's going to be watching like watching paint dry. But I'm going to give this to the fantasy reverend and tell us what he thinks about the St. Louis Rams hosting the Chicago Bears.
Hey, let me tell you something, man. I disagree with this paint drying thing with this game. I think the guy that might have the fancy week stud of the week, I think he might be the fancy stud of the week, is Zach Stacy. I'm not really sold on the Bears defense. They don't look the same with all their injuries they have. And let me tell you something. Zach Stacy, if you're looking for a stud this week, since taking over his starting duties, Zach Stacy's been in the top five in carries, rush yards after contact. Man, this guy has almost averaged 30 touches a game as a starter. You know what I mean? And the Bears' defense has allowed second most yards per carry and the second most fantasy points per game. And they even made, I'm going to say this is even more of a shot at the Bears' defense. They made Brandon Jacobs look like this guy was freaking Jim Brown. You know what I'm saying?
Yep. Yeah, you're right.
So all I'm going to say is, Zach Stacy, if you're looking for a running back one this week, I'm rolling with Zach Stacy on this one. As far as anything else, yeah, you're right with maybe with the paint drying thing. As far as anybody else, I can't think of anybody else to have a big game. I kind of would like to say I like Marcellus Bennett and on that Bears offense, but he hasn't been getting his target as much as Jay Cutler. Jay Cutler really liked throwing the ball to him a lot. Josh McNown, not bad. He seems to target Alshon Jeffrey a lot more than he does with Brandon Marshall, so
right.
That could be an option for you. I like Jeffrey possibly to have. He's been putting up solid numbers. Him and Brandon Marshall are pretty much neck and neck as far as receiving, you know, touches and yards. So, I mean, but you got those guys are huge receivers. You're looking at guys that are like 6'4", 6'5", receivers. They just throw the ball up to those guys, and they both run that deep ball really well, and they run over the middle. So those guys could be definitely those guys are definitely worthy of a start. But I don't see them guys having a huge day today. I really just see Zach Stacy having a monster. And when I say monster, I'm talking 20 plus point day today. I really think so.
Okay. All right, Mr. Fantasy Guru, Victor.
All right. Zach Stacy. I like Zach Stacy. We talked about this yesterday, JT.
In most of our drafts.
He was a late
good, that was good. That was a good so, call, by the way. That was a very good call.
Dankeschön. But, again, look at who's playing who. This is a matchup thing. I told you that, you know, what's my boy name? Kilpatrick. He's going to have the burden of covering Alshon Jeffries in this game. And that's not going to be an easy task for him because he's not that physical, and Alshon Jeffries is. Again, this is going to be one of those games where you're going to see a lot of tussling and a lot of fight, you know, something that comes out of WWE because of the style of coaching two coaches have. And you want to make sure that, well, not coaches, because Trestman isn't like that, but it's going to be a physical, physical game.
Courtland Finnegan.
Is that?
Yeah, he's out. Finnegan's out for the year.
Is he?
Oh, he is?
Yeah, he's out. So,
I did not know that.
That could be that definitely could play into Brandon Marshall or even Alshon Jeffrey having a decent day today. And I'm sure they will have a decent day. But yeah, Finnegan's out for this week.
I did not know Finnegan was out. Okay, interesting. Well, that lets me know that it's going to be all Bears all the time, and St. Louis has no chance. Because they don't have another physical set of wide receivers. I mean, of cornerbacks. And that's going to be a detriment. So, again, play Alshon Jeffery. Play Brandon Marshall. Matt Forte, it's going to be tough sledding for him, but they'll find a way to get him the ball. And I think, Jerry, you said yesterday that, or it was my cousin, one of y'all said that, Mark Trestman is pretty much a very good fit for Chicago. And I know we all gave a big fit about Lovie Smith leaving and how he left and stuff, but it turns out that it probably was the best thing to do to get this team on board and in the right mindset. Now, Chicago's defense is banged up. They are really banged, especially at linebacker. You got D.J. Williams is out. Lance Briggs is out. Got like second and third string linebackers starting for them. But up front, you still got is it Ziggy Ansah on one? I'm not sure who the other DN is, but you got Julius Peppers and the D tackles. They're doing very well. You got the Long brothers going against each other. Chris Long and Kyle Long, offensive side of Chicago, defensive side of St. Louis. That's a good matchup you want to watch. But the big, big boy, Mr. Quinn. That's the guy that you want to look out for. Because if he gets a push up the middle, he's the guy that I play. If, you know, I'm looking for a decent 3 or 4 or 5 points for my IDP, I know he's going to get them. Because he's gonna get a tackle. He's going to get a sack. He's going to be in on the play, some way, shape, or form. John Laurinaitis, I look for him to have a good game as well. On the opposite side, again, Peanut Tillman and Chris Jennings may or may not have a good game because Tavon Austin is fast, but he needs somebody to cover up. So I don't know where Kellen Clemens is going to throw the ball. Chris Givens has been a disappointment. But Zach Stacy, smash mouth, up the middle, up the side, I think that'll be their MO, especially against a depleted Chicago linebacking corps. Again, fantasy goodness is on Chicago side at the wide receiver position, since the corners of St. Louis are not going to be able to hold up against them. That's what I got.
Okay. Before I go into one little tidbit that I want to put out there, we got less than a minute left in live air. We're going to definitely be going into overtime because I want to get to the majority of the game, if not all of them. Tune in next week for those who are going to leave us. At 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, as always, I'm JT, a.k.a. The Master. This is The Master Plan. At always, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. And tune in to all the other shows that we have. 7 p.m. on Monday is Time Out with Sylvia Crowley. This Thursday, The FSP Crew Show will not be airing live. It'll be a replay this Friday, the day after Thanksgiving, will be the re-airing of another show for the No Chaser Show, which is at 7 p.m. But we'll be back here live again. We're in overtime, but we'll be back here live again. 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time will be the FSP Show, hosted by Vic Gardner, who's on here right now, and also by myself on Saturday. And I, like I said, the Master Plan, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. We are in overtime now. And this is one little thing I want to give to those fantasy owners that own Julius Thomas. He's highly doubtful because of his knee injury. And if you have an alternative, this can be your alternative to Julius Thomas, because I think he's going to have a very good day today against a habitually for several seasons now a defense that's terrible against the tight end. I'm talking about Jared Cook. I know people say he had one good game in the beginning of the year because he was hyped up preseason. And he had one good game, and it hyped up a lot of people who drafted him in his fantasy drafts. And then he went straight downhill from there. Well, if you have him, or if he's sitting on the waiver wire, or you had patience and kept him, this is a time that you may want to use him, because he's got Kellen Clemens, who doesn't have the strongest arm, and against a very weak defense against the tight end. Jared Cook can have a very good day today, because the fact is the Chicago Bears are one of the worst teams against the tight end in all of the NFL. And if he's going to have a decent week, this is one of the weeks that he's going to do it. Those who think Julius Thomas, for the most part, and I'm one of them, and I do have Jared Cook as my backup tight end, I'm going to play him, because the fact is I'm not too sure. Supposedly Julius Thomas is going to work out this morning, and they're going to make a determination whether he's going to play tonight. So you got to make your decision whether you want to take a chance in Julius Thomas or take Jacob Tammy or Joel Dreesen in place of Julius Thomas, which both those tight ends are not as athletic as Thomas is, or go to another direction, such as a Jared Cook, or John Carlson, for that fact. All right?
JT, I got one for you. Even a Delanie Walker this week is a guy you need to watch.
Well, that's true. But for most part, I think most astute fantasy football players have grabbed him in leagues. And I'm giving the people something that, for the most part, they've either dropped or he's just been fodder on the bench, just sitting there doing nothing. Anyway, let's move on to the next game that's on the docket. That would be the Carolina Panthers and the Miami Dolphins. And I'm going to give to Mr. Gardner first crack at Cam Newton versus Ryan Tannehill.
Well, I'd like to say that probably my dog's in the background. I'd like to say that Superman or Super Cam is, he's going to be in for a tough go. Miami's defense is not bad at all. Not bad at all. It's just they have a terrible offense to accompany them. Mark Pouncey is not going to play. He's ill. He's supposed to come back from injury this week, but he's not going to play because he's sick. So that means they're going to stick with their backup. Center, Richie, Ernest's bestest friend, is still not playing.
I love me some Richie Incognito.
You know you do.
Is that right?
No, I'm just joking. The guy's okay. The biggest piece of crap on the earth. But when we're sitting at work, me and FSP, that's how we talk. It's kind of like Jonathan Martin and Richie Incognito. That's how our relationship is. We say some bad things to each other, but it's all in love.
I'm Rich Incognito. He's Jonathan Mark. He's
no, okay.
He's
now that's how we do? Okay.
No. Bottom line is this, that in this game, you know, they've been trying to force feed Mike Wallace the ball. Tannehill just does not have the arm to get it out to him. And that's the bottom line. He just doesn't. So that's why you see him throwing the ball to Hartline a lot, to Clay, to Rasheed Matthews, and everybody but Mike Wallace. It's a sad case of affairs here because they have enough talent that Miami should be competitive. Their problem is Joe Philbin deciding on one running back. He needs to decide on a running back and go. So I'm looking at a bad, bad day for the Miami Dolphins. I know yesterday Mr. Taylor picked the Dolphins to win the game, or I think picked the Dolphins to win the game.
But, no, I picked Carolina.
Pick Carolina? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Cam and the Panthers, they're on a hot streak. You know, D'Angelo Williams seems to be their workhorse when they want to give him the ball. Jonathan Stewart is don't even bother getting Jonathan Stewart if he's on your waiver wire. Don't get him. Not worth it. A better player to get would be Mike Tolbert because
mm-hmm.
Mike Tolbert is that goal line guy, short yardage guy, and I think he scored like 7 or 8 touchdowns already.
Right.
So I would grab him if I needed him in a pinch because of injury or whatever the case may be. Who else on that side? I like Brandon LaFell a little bit. I like Greg Olsen in this game, too, even though Miami's pretty daggone good versus the run and the tight end. But I don't like Daniel Thompson. I don't like Lamar Miller in this game because of that Carolina defense. That Carolina defense is nothing to be fooled with. I thought their secondary was some garbage. They aren't garbage. They're just not that good. But their front seven makes up for it. But, you know, don't make no mistake. Mr. Wake and the rest of those guys, they're going to be in Cam Newton's face today. They're going to be in his face and make it very awkward for him to operate. So, you know, I'm going to pick Carolina to win, but I don't really see a lot of fantasy goodness in this one other than Mike Tolbert getting his goal line shots. Take it away.
All right, fantasy, Reverend.
Well, let me chime in with some good words for this Sunday again. I disagree. I think from a fantasy standpoint, I don't think there's much here in this game. I think Cam is going to have another solid day. That Miami defense is it's not bad. It's not great. So I think Cam, there's definitely some upside there. I think he'll have a pretty good day today. I do agree with you, though. Tolbert, yeah, red zones, when they're down on the goal line, he sees the ball about 80% of the time over D'Angelo Williams and Jonathan Stewart. The guy I look for, if I had to pick one in this game, I even though he hasn't done much all year, is Steve Smith. I'm still waiting on him, you know, to have a decent day from a fantasy aspect. Last week he had a pretty solid day. I think he could build off that, and I think this week this could be a coming-out party for him a little more against that team because I think if there's one week where he can actually, you know, showcase himself, it could be today. And I think I would definitely start him if I needed a flex option. I would definitely throw him in there at flex. As from the Miami standpoint, oh, God, man. It's like we're talking about Tannehill's like watching Christian Ponder, man. I mean, he's got – you can see the talent there, but it just – offensively, they don't – they just ain't jiving. You know what I mean? They need a running back. Their running back situation's not great. It looks like the Mike Wallace signing is just blowing up in their face altogether. He does one thing well, and that's run the deep ball, and he's not even doing that. So – if I had Mike Wallace on my team from a fantasy standpoint, I'd put him at the end of the bench, wherever that would be. You know what I mean? And
sure.
And there's And there's nobody else really offensively for Miami that can provide anything. Like you said, maybe Hartline, if you're desperate for something. That it seems like him and Tannehill, because they, over the last 2 years, they've formed a pretty good relationship. You look, he seems to look for him, and even Charles Clay sees a lot of touches. But that Carolina defense, man, that Carolina defense ain't nothing to play with, guys. And I'm not saying they're on the level of a Kansas City, but they're pretty darn close.
Yes.
I think you'd have to agree.
Yeah, you're absolutely right about that. I have to concur with that. I think I don't know exactly where they rate, but I think they're rating the top five in overall defense. The problem I have with Miami is this. It seems like the offensive coordinator and the head coach aren't creative enough to take advantage of their skill players, especially their running backs. I like Lamar Miller a lot, and I don't understand why they don't use him more extensively, and they pretty much favor a plodding running back as in Daniel Thomas. Now, quite obviously, Miami's offensive line has been depleted due to the Jonathan Martin and Richie Cognito not being there. So in my estimate or my thought process is to be more creative with your running backs. Short passes, get these guys in space, not just be the run-of-the-mill, hand it off all the time, and let them pile into the line and not go anywhere.
Yeah.
You got to be more creative.
I think they should run some more screen passes, too, for Lamar Miller. That would free him up in space.
Exactly. That's exactly what
I'm talking about.
I watched them
against the Tampa game, and like you said, they just ran him straight up the gut like a dive play every play.
Right.
And the guy's a speed guy, so he needs to be able to get out in space.
Right. So, in my opinion, they have a good back there, a good serviceable back, but they're not using him the right way or enough. And I don't know if they're ever going to do it because the schedule is not really conducive for the Miami Dolphins running game. Carolina today, then Jets next week, Pittsburgh, New England, and then it eases off in New England because New England can be run on, and then Buffalo, and then ends up with the New York Jets at the end of the season. But for some reason, they decided to do a running back by committee, which, in my opinion, on both sides of the ball, is not effective. And it's ironic, on both of these teams, they use running back by committee, and how effective is it on both sides of the ball? And how effective has it been, especially for the Carolina Panthers, to do running back by committee over the last few years? It hasn't been effective. It's been wishy-washy, and Cam Newton's, for the most part, been the best running back other than Mike Tolbert in the red zone. And Cam Newton been doing that a lot, too. So you guys, in your analysis of this, both these two teams, was spot on. I only want to add that what I had added, and then we're going to move on to the next game, which happens to be Rex Ryan visiting his old team in Baltimore, the New York Jets visiting the Baltimore Ravens, and I'll start off with this one, ironically, since it's my turn. If you have, and I said this earlier in the season, if you have the defense that's going against the New York Jets, the Cleveland Browns, unfortunately, or the I think it was Minnesota Vikings, if I'm not mistaken, use them. Use them in rotation. Stream your defenses because these teams have a tendency, and I have to discount Cleveland because that's when Brandon Whedon was playing. So I'll just say those two teams, the Jets and the Minnesota Vikings, because of the quarterback play and it turned over the ball that much, that you take the Ravens defense in this game, absolutely take the Ravens defense in the game, because Geno Smith is a turnover waiting to happen. Even though he can do some effective plays, I'm not saying start him. You don't start Geno Smith. You never start Geno Smith. But you start the defense going against Geno Smith. Look for turnovers, at least two turnovers from Geno Smith, That's the norm. And maybe one of them is an interception, or two of them interception, but you're going to get turnovers from Geno Smith. On this side, man, this is tough. This is tough to and this is really a flex option, and really don't expect too much from him. Chris Ivory in the flex option for a run game. That's really if you're hurting for a running back. I'm not even really too enthusiastic about anybody on here except for maybe Torrey Smith on the other side, because Joe Flacco against the Rex Ryan defense does not play well. And Ray Rice, you never know what you're going to get against the Jet defense that's top five against the run. Ray Rice, who's been highly inconsistent, even though he showed pretty well last week, it ain't going to happen this week. This is going to be a very tough game to watch because both defenses are going to get after both offenses, and I'm looking for a low-scoring game with not too much fantasy points played in this game, in my opinion, and I'll take my ball and pass it off to the Reverend Fantasy. Hello? Anybody
hey,
there?
Hey, JT, sorry, but I had you on mute, man. I'm trying to eat my Cheerios right now, sorry.
Okay. Okay.
Hey, the Reverend's got to eat, right? Communion, right?
Yeah, you're right.
Hey, from a fantasy aspect, I think you're dead on this this game. I don't think there's much there. I think you get good Geno, bad Geno. It seems like, even though I personally wouldn't take no Geno, that's my take on him. I would never even draft him or even have him on my roster. It seems like the Jets in real time, not fantasy, week on, week off. One week they look good. One week they look terrible. So last week they looked terrible. So I look for this week for them to look better. Now, from a fantasy aspect, does that say I would take those guys and play anybody? No, I wouldn't touch nobody with a 10-foot pole on the Jets this week. Only guy I kind of look that could possibly have a decent game is, like you said, maybe Chris Ivory. He's been playing. He gets a lot of touches. Rex likes to grind it out offensively. So in a couple of my leagues, I look at Chris Ivory as a flex play, maybe a flex.
Mm-hmm.
The one guy, though, on the flip side that was about Torrey Smith, he intrigues me in this game. Even though I can't stand Joe Flacco, I can't stand the dude. I think he freaking got paid for being a game manager, a.k.a. Alex Smith, you know, maybe on steroids.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Torrey Smith, there could be something there today against this Jets defense. They're definitely Ray Rice. He's definitely not going to get much this game. That's a fact. He doesn't look like the same Ray Rice. I don't know what's going on with him. I don't know if he's just battling injuries all year. Even when he is healthy, he just does not have that explosive, you know, pep in his step to get through the holes. So I definitely wouldn't mess with Ray Rice this game. But Torrey Smith, I definitely take roll the dice on this one. Hey, the Reverend, when I do shoot some dice, man, it could come up snake eyes, so don't take me on this one. So, and I'm going to say, defensively, I agree with you. I would look at both teams if I was taking a defensive team this week, my defense. I would definitely look at the Baltimore defense because you already know Geno's good. Even when it's good Geno, he's good for two picks a game. So I would definitely look at that Baltimore defense. What do you got, Rick?
Well, two things I want to talk about in this game. One is the Darius Webb, and the other is San Antonio Holmes. San Antonio is scheduled to play today. Whether he does or doesn't, I'm not sure. Jekyll and Hyde, that's what the Jets are. And this week they're scheduled to be Dr. Jekyll. Now, Mr. Reed returns to Baltimore. So he'll come out and he'll try to have his best game. Will he? I don't know. But looking at what Flacco is going to have to do, it's going to be a ball hawk type situation. Because, as you guys both said, Ray Rice may or may not have a decent game here versus that stout Jet defense. But again, I think San Antonio Holmes will be that equalizer against Ladarius Webb or Mr. Smith. It depends on who's out there at cornerback. I'm not sure what's up with Baltimore's defense as of late, but it obviously has something to do with the offense because the offense turns the ball over too many times. They're three and out. They're punting. You know, the defense is back on the field. So I don't see a lot of good things coming out of Baltimore's side in the game. And Geno Smith leads the league with 20 turnovers. 20.
Yep. Yep.
I don't know if he's going to be able to control that this week. I hope he can, but I don't think he will. I'm picking the Jets to win, but I'm not going to play him. I'm not going to play Curley. I'm not going to play Ivory. I'm not going to play Bilal Powell. I'm not going to play any of those guys because I don't trust them. Kellen Winslow might have a good game because I don't know how Baltimore is against the tight end, but he could be a security blanket for Geno if he just wants to play smart football. Dennis Pita is not playing today, so that means Dallas Clark has another opportunity to help out the team. But Smith, I don't know who's going to be in the opposite. Is it Dobson? Is it Dobbs or Doss? Is it what's the man with Dancing with the Stars? Jacoby Jones? I don't know. It's just too inconsistent on that side of the ball. So fantasy-wise, I'm staying away other than the defense, other than the Jets defense. That's it for me.
All right. One little tidbit about the Jets. The Jets offense, and this is from a former fan.
Former? Are you sure you're a former?
Former fan. Former fan.
Key word, but former, yes.
Yes, former. I know the history of the Jets extensively. The Jet offense is not good against a physical defense. They don't play well against a physical defense, like a Pittsburgh Steelers, like a Seattle Seahawks, like a Baltimore Ravens. You get physical with the Jet offense, they don't play well. So I don't think anything's going to be really effective for the Jets. It's going to be a bad day, in my opinion, for Jet fans.
You don't think they're going to win the W in real time?
Excuse me?
You don't think they're going to get the W in real time?
No. Jets are, I think, 1-4 on the road, if I'm not mistaken, and haven't played well against the Baltimore Ravens historically. No. With a turnover, Geno Smith, no. Even though Baltimore is not as good as they were in the past years, this Baltimore Raven team still can beat the Jets. So, no. There's no way the Jets are going to win tonight. Now, they're going to put up a stiff fight. I don't see it's going to be a high-scoring game, but I don't think the Jets are going to win this. Anyway, let's move on to the Jaguars are visiting the Texans. How apropos is this?
Your team.
Yes, my team. We're going to go to Mr. Victor Gardner, Mr. Fantasy Guru, so to speak, and give us your analysis, Jacksonville at the Houston Texans, fantasy.
All right. You're going to learn today that MJD should get off. I don't understand what's up with the Texans defense. I know Brian Cushing is gone and a few other players are gone, but my gosh, if a former Jacksonville running back and Rashad Jennings can get a $160 on him with a terrible offensive line with the Raiders, MJD should have a field day. Now, Case Keenum was mentioned earlier by Reverend Fantasy. Wow. Case was ineffective last week, and there was some turmoil on the sideline of Houston, Texas, whereas a usually quiet wide receiver stormed off the field for the Randy Moss. I'm not sure what to expect out of Houston. this game. I really don't. But I don't expect Jacksonville to do a great deal. I think they're going to win based upon the turmoil in Houston. But I look for Cecil Shorts. He's been complaining about the ball. Look for him to get a lot of targets. As I say, MJD, I think he should go for a buck 20, a couple touchdowns maybe. Defensively, of course, Paul plus Lusby and a few of the secondary of the Jacksonville Jaguars. They're not a bad defense. Their offense just can't get it together. That's the problem. So, on the opposite side, excuse me for that, fellas, opposite side, Ben Tate, four cracked ribs, man. Going against that defense, it's going to be tough. Going to be tough, but I think he'll do well. DeAndre Hopkins. Case Keenum likes to throw the ball to him. So that might be a good sign for fantasy owners that he at least is getting targets. Garrett Graham had a very good game last week, but again, it was a couple of broken plays that he got those big yards and those touchdowns on. So I don't know if he's going to have that opportunity this week. So you can get him if you need him, like spot duty right now, but I wouldn't expect him to do a great deal. Other than that, that's it. J.J. Swat, the ball, Watt, is always a good play. I don't have much. Jonathan Joseph, he's going to have a long day today. I just think he's going to have a long day today because they're going to throw the ball to Houston Short. And that's who he's going to cover, I believe. That's all I got, JT.
All right, Reverend Fantasy, talk to me.
All right, well, first thing I'm going to say is one word. We're talking about the Jaguars. Holy crap. As soon as you say Jaguars, you should instantly start talking about who's playing the Jaguars and who.
Right.
How can I get them in my lineup.
Right.
So this is what I'm going to say is, Ben Tate with his baby back ribs, he could have 20 broke ribs. I'm rolling with Ben Tate today. Give me my baby back ribs, and give me freaking 15 points easy today against freaking Jacksonville. They cannot stop nothing. I'm going to tell you, Casey Keenum, like I said earlier, I think if you're looking for a spot starter this week, this is your guy. Because,
yep,
let me tell you, Jacksonville hasn't stopped no quarterback this year. I mean, their defense is terrible. You know, they're just terrible. Other than Paul Perkowski or whatever his name, Pomalski, it don't matter. One guy can't tackle everybody. You know what I'm saying?
Polozny. Yeah.
Yeah, he could be whoever. The Pope, it don't matter. He ain't tackling. He can only tackle so many people. He's only one guy. So other than their performance against Jacksonville's defense against I can't believe I'm going to say it, against Denver, they actually look pretty solid. Other than that, they've stunk it up. So I look for Case Keenum to throw the ball. That's what he does. I think Andre Johnson coming off last week being pissed off with his little spat with, you know, Matt Schaub, I think he's in for a big day today. He seems he gets targeted a lot by Case Keenum. Garrett Graham, I think you're looking for a tight end too. You know, if you're digging deep for a spot starter, that could be a guy that today can do something for you. Ben Tate, like I said, even DeAndre Hopkins, those guys, all them boys are going to put up, I think they're going to put up some points today. Now, let me say this from the Jacksonville side. Anytime you're talking about signing Tim Tebow, that's where the conversation ends. You know what I'm saying? So,
you're right. You're exactly right about that. And I, you know what? I'm thinking this is a high-scoring game. Because the Houston defense is not what it used to be. I'm a Houston Texans fan. I'm telling you, the Houston defense is not what it used to be. Brian Cushing, and they lost him just like last year. It's a big blow in the middle of that Houston's defense. They can be run on. Supposedly they have one of the higher-rated passing defense, but lately they've been passed on also. Now, I'm not saying that Chad Henne's going to be a world beater, but this is a division rivalry, so these teams have a tendency to go at each other a little bit more intensely than if it was just a, in quotation marks, just a run-of-the-mill NFL game.
Right.
So I'm thinking that there's going to be some points put up on the board, especially on Houston's Texans side. But Chad Henne is going to have to throw the ball to play from behind. I still think MJD is going to be able to run the ball, and Cecil Shorts and this guy that is probably going to emerge. I don't know how much touches he's going to get, but he's getting more and more touches. I'm talking about a little shortstop called Ace Sanders. Maybe play a little prominent role in this game. Not a huge role, but he's going to be targeted by Chad Henne because their word is that they want to get him more involved in the offense, whatever offense you want to say that Jacksonville has. All the players that you guys mentioned, I agree with, and I know that the Reverend Fantasy has something else to say. What's up?
I would say special teams. Look out for special teams. If you're in one of those leagues that has defense, special teams, you know, special teams definitely could come into play today, especially on the Houston aspect. After last week, they returned a kickoff. So I would say look out for, you know, for if you're you get fantasy points for any kind of special teams play. I think special teams could come big time today.
Okay. Let's move on to another game that's very interesting. This is a very interesting game, hard game to pick. The Indianapolis Colts is visiting the Arizona Cardinals in Arizona. I'm going to go the Reverend Fantasy's way to start this off.
Let me tell you something, JT, man. This game, it confuses me. I'm confused not only from a fantasy aspect, but from a real life football aspect. I just, for one, I don't like them. They give me indigestion when I talk about the Cardinals. You know what I mean? Like, you know, as soon as you say Carson Palmer, I'm already popped like 8 Tums. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, but let me say something from a fantasy aspect. I wouldn't, this week, personally, I stayed away from Andrew Luck this week just because that Cardinals defense, they're a beast against the pass. You already know Patterson and Tyrann Mathieu. Them boys, they lay some wood on some dudes and they cover. So, and with Indianapolis not really having a clear-cut one receiver other than T.Y. Hilton, that makes me nervous for Andrew Luck. But let me say something as far as I would stay away from the Colts offensively in this game is because running back-wise, Donald Brown and Trent Richardson. I'm a Cleveland Browns fan. FSP knows that. When they traded away Trent Richardson this year, I thought I was going to commit suicide. I was just going to come in the office and just go crazy. I didn't understand it. But I'm going to tell you what. It actually is maybe someone in the Browns front office seen something that we don't see because Trent Richardson does not look like Trent Richardson right now.
No.
If Donald Brown is getting more equally as much snaps and he's taking all his red zone touches from him, something ain't right with Trent Richardson. So I'm going to say this. I wouldn't touch either running back this week unless you have to. And if I did have to, I would go with Donald Brown other than Trent Richardson. Because Trent Richardson, I mean, he's never been a blazer anyway as far as breakaway speed. He's more of a bruiser. And he's not even doing that right now. And on the offensive side, I'm gonna speak highly of Arizona. I'm going to tell you the receivers. Right now, old boy Floyd and freaking Larry Fitz, they're looking like a serious tandem right now. I mean, they're hard
yes,
to stop.
Sir.
Last week showed what them boys can do. He's actually, Floyd's starting to deliver on some of that promise, you know, being drafted high out of Notre Dame. I thought this
right.
guy was a perfect complement to Larry Fitzgerald, and it's finally starting to show. I think Carson Palmer in that Bruce Arena, you know, offense, I think he's starting to look a lot more comfortable now. Even though I still, every time he throws the ball, I'm like, I get nervous because I think he's going to get picked every time. But one thing Carson Palmer can do is he can throw that deep ball. And I think today that'll come into play. I think him, Larry Fitzgerald working, you know, in the middle of the field and Floyd maybe looking down the field, I think both those guys can have big days. But like I said, I wouldn't touch Indianapolis. I'm not sold on the boys yet, and I think going against that tough defense, Andrew Luck's going to have a stiff test today. I'll hand it off to FSP.
Well, gentlemen, I got to get ready to put this show on spot on radio as soon as they end it. So I'm going to be very short and quick here. Indianapolis starts off slow. Don't like them. I would play Donald Brown. T.Y. Hilton will be locked up. Again, we're talking about an opportunity for both teams here. So Arizona, very opportunistic defense. And if they take advantage of a slow start from Indianapolis, you're going to see the Rashad Minhall in the end zone, Andre Ellington in the end zone. Michael Floyd is supposed to play, but he's been banged up with that sprained shoulder. So I look for a Roberts sighting along with a Fitz sighting in this game. But I play Arizona's defense big time. I play them big time since Luck and the rest of those guys don't turn it on to the second half. And it might be too late by then with this offense. All right, JT. Remember, I got to put this on spot on, dude.
When?
As soon as you're done.
When? Huh?
As soon as you're done, dude.
All right.
This is your peak time.
Okay. The one time I need to play this is Rob Hausler. No, excuse me. Kobe Fleener. Arizona is one of the worst defenses, absolutely the worst defense to play against the tight end. So Kobe Fleener should have a huge day, especially with the pass rush of the Arizona Cardinals. Andrew Luck's going to be trying to get rid of that ball as quick as possible, and who's in the middle of the field for the most part will be Kobe Fleener. So I'm looking for Kobe Fleener to have a big day here. Let's move on to the Titans and the Raiders. I'm going to take this real quick. Let's look at I like two players in from the Titans and one player from the Raiders. I'm talking about Chris Johnson. I like him to have a pretty decent day here against the Raiders in Oakland, and also like Delanie Walker. Who Ryan Fitzpatrick, because he doesn't have a huge arm, likes to dump it off in the middle of the field with Delanie Walker. And on the other side of the ball, Oakland Raiders, I'm looking for Rashad Jennings to have a decent day today. He's taken over the lead role from Darren McFadden, and even if McFadden comes back, I think they're going to be in a timeshare. And also, because it's Matt McGloin, he likes throwing to Rod Streeter. So Rod Streeter, it seems to be coming up on the scene with a banged up and hurt Denarius Moore. I'll go to Vic and then Mr. Reverend Fantasy.
Oakland Raiders. Don't like nothing over there. Rashad Jennings, he's proven to be the guy they're going to ride the back of. Even if McFadden does come back healthy, I don't think it's going to help him at all. His career is done. I think he's going to be a career backup from now on. I forgot who you said the Raiders are playing that quick.
They're playing the Titans.
Okay, the Titans. I love the Titans defense on this. I really do, because they're playing a third-string quarterback yet again in Oakland because they had injury problems. I like Chris Johnson. Talk about Delanie Walker. Those are usual suspects. I look for Mr. Wright. Mr. Wright had an explosive game at wide receiver for Tennessee. And then also look for Nate Washington to have a pretty decent game versus them. So basically what I'm saying is Tennessee's going to win the game, and their skill positions are going to have a pretty good game, in my opinion, even with Fitzpatrick throwing the ball. So that's what I got on that. Only thing I have for the Raiders is Rashad Jennings. I like Rod Streeter. Ford is out. And Rivera is okay, but I wouldn't play him.
Right.
That's it.
All right, Reverend.
Hey, you know this tears my guts out to agree with all you guys, but you guys are dead on with this. I look from the Oakland aspect. Rashad Jennings is going to get a heavy dosage of carries today, and I think he'll be able to get a lot of yardage against that Tennessee defense, which is suspect at best. Like you said, Rod Streeter seems to be clicking with McGoin. From an aspect of from Tennessee's side, I think you're dead on. Chris Johnson, if there's one game that he could maybe go for 200 yards, this could be the game today. Oakland's defense is hit or miss. You never know what you're going to get with them. It's like a box of chocolates, brother, with Forrest Gump. You don't know what you're going to get, all right? And Delanie Walker seems to have a relationship with Ryan Fitzpatrick where he's always looking for him. Even though it's checkdowns, he's looking for him in that red zone. So the last 2-3 weeks, he's been connecting with him. He's averaged a touchdown a game in roughly about 50 yards on about 7 receptions. So I would look for Delanie Walker to come through for today. And one of my sleeper guys that you also indicated is my man Wright at the wide receiver position for freaking the Titans. I think this could be a game where he could be able to hit that deep ball numerous times today against that Oakland secondary. DJ Hayden, their top pick, is out for the year. So he's going to be matched up against the veteran Terry Porter. And so I think this allows him, he's a speed guy, he's a small guy. I think he's going to be able to get deep on Oakland's defense today. And, I think from a fantasy aspect, you definitely better start Rashad Jennings this week. I think this could be a big day for him.
All right, talking about big days, the next game we're going to go up against, an NFC matched game, Dallas Cowboys at the New York Giants. I think this game, because both these defense, for the most part, can't stop anybody running or passing. Tony Romo, DeMarco Murray, Jason Witten, they're talking about they want to get the ball more in different places for Dez Bryant. Eli Manning, you may want to play him if you're in a pinch. Andre Brown and Victor Cruz. And I'll give you one. I'm not too high on Hakeem Nixon here, but I am high on the guy who they like throwing to, especially in the red zone, is Reuben Randall for the New York Giants. So those are my picks for the Dallas Cowboys. If you have any of those players, you get them in a lineup that I named, I think they're going to perform whatever projections they are. I think they're going to come pretty close to them. Because both these teams are going to be putting up some points because neither defense is really that good. Victor and then the Reverend.
Well, I don't like the Cowboys at all, but I think they're going to win this game. Sean Lee's not playing, so only person on the defensive side I'd play will be Mr. Carr. I'm not even going to play DeMarcus Ware. Because I don't think he's going to have an opportunity to get to Eli Manning. Defensively for New York, Pierre Paul has come on the past couple of weeks. He hasn't been that big force that he was supposed to be all year long, but he's coming on now. Other than that, I look for what you just said, JT. Wide receivers should have a good game. Now, Miles Austin is supposed to come back this week. That's going to cut into Terrence Williams' catches, along with cutting into Jason Witten catches. I don't know if there's enough balls to go around. And they still haven't established the run game. So DeMarco Murray, who's had a couple of good games versus the Giants, I don't know how that affects them. It all depends on their game plan. But I would never, ever play one of these two defenses unless I had no choice because they both give up a lot of yards. A lot of points, no, but a lot of yards. So that's the only reason why I wouldn't play them. Other than that, they're okay. Now, with that being said, I would go ahead and start. I just had it on the tip of my tongue.
Running back, wide receiver?
Andre Brown. Andre Brown for the Giants. Mm-hmm. Andre Brown is going to have a monster game. A monster game against the Giants. At least I believe so. That's what I got.
Reverend.
All right, well, the Rev, let the Rev spit a little gospel real quick. I don't think you can go wrong in this game, honestly. We're talking about team fantasy. I call it team fantasy is the Dallas Cowboys, because either way, you cannot go wrong. Tony Romo, I don't trust him in crunch time of a big game, but guess what? That's why it's called fantasy football. Fantasy-wise, the guy's a beast. You know he's throwing for at least 300 yards a game. So I look for Tony Romo to have a huge day today. The guy, I think he should have a big day today, but he just does not come through for me when I need him, is DeMarco Murray. I don't trust the guy. Like, when I bank on him to do something for me, he does nothing. And then when I don't trust him to do something, that's when he comes through. So I'm always hit or miss with that guy. But today, this is a game that's built for him to have a big day if they decide to run the ball. Someone needs to be able to establish the run. I look for the Giants to be the team that's going to establish the run. Andre Brown, since he's been back, he's been in the top three running backs as far as fantasy points and touches. The guy is getting 30 carries, 25 to 30 carries a game since he's been back. So I look for Andre Brown to have a big day today. And like you said, JT, I don't like Hakeem Nicks. He's been nicked up all year long, and he hasn't really done much. I look for Reuben Randall to do something in this game, and I look for some big things from Reuben Randall, even Victor Cruz in this game.
Okay. We got two more games on the docket. The last game is for Sunday is the 8:30 game, the game matchup everybody's waiting to see, renewed rivalry between Peyton Manning, Denver Broncos, at the New England Patriots with Tom Brady. Well, in this game, just like the prior game, I think there's a whole bunch of fantasy goodness in here, starting from the quarterback of the Denver Broncos, quite naturally Peyton Manning, the running back and Sean Marino, the three wide receivers. I think they're all going to be players in his, going from pecking order, Demaryius Thomas, Wes Welker, and Eric Decker. I think that's the pecking order. Like I said, temper your expectations. If Julius Thomas does not play or he's limited in his playing, I would try to go to a more a better option than Julius Thomas, because he's dealing with a knee issue. On the other side, even though Tom Brady has not been playing Tom Brady-esque all year, this matchup is going to probably bring the best out of him, especially against a really piss-poor Denver pass defense. So you play Tom Brady in PPRs, you definitely got to play Shane Vereen, because he's going to get involved in the passing game along with the running game. Stephen Ridley, in my opinion, is a RB2 or a flex option, for the simple fact is that he is on thin ice with Bill Belichick, and you never know what Stephen Ridley you're going to get. You know you're going to play Rob Gronkowski. There's no two ways about it. One of the best tight ends in fantasy this year, even though he's not ranking up there overall. But you know, since he's been back, he's been targeted by Brady. That's one of his favorite targets. And Danny Amendola. I don't think he may be a good option, maybe a flex option or a low-end RB2. I think this rookie, Aaron Dobson, has gotten a pretty good rapport with Tom Brady. And against this Denver defense, which can be thrown on, I think he's going to have a surprise game in this matchup. From that, let's go to the Reverend Fantasy.
Okay, JT, hey, Revs here. I agree with you again, brother. I think Tom Brady, even though from fantasy aspect this year he hasn't done much, but I think his competitive juices this week will get going against, you know, Peyton Manning. And that Denver Broncos defense is not the same Denver Broncos defense they were last year. They're not really getting after the quarterback, and they can't cover nobody. Let's just say that. They cannot cover. They're 28th in the league and pass defense. So
right.
I look for Tom Brady to have a pretty big day from a fantasy aspect. I tell you what, I think Denny Amendola, if you got a PPR, this guy is the PPR king for the last, like, 4 years. He might not put up a lot of touchdowns. He might not put up, you know, 1,400 yards receiving, but the guy gets, like, 13 receptions for, like, I don't know how he does it, for, like, 70 yards. I don't get how he does it, but he does it for the last 4 years. So I think this game, they'll kind of use him in that Wes Walker kind of system where they kind of throw it to him underneath on these quick slants. I think Gronk's due for a big day. And like you said, JT, I think Shane Vereen, I think he's about to surpass, you know, Stephen Ridley. I think Stephen Ridley's days as a Pat are getting numbered. I think Bill Belichick with the fumbles, he's already falling out of, you know, favor of Bill Belichick. I don't think he trusts him with the ball as much. Plus, Shane Vereen is very ambidextrous. He gets the ball out in space. He receives the ball. I think he's a better receiver than he is a running back.
Yes.
So I really like Shane Vereen in this game also. From the Denver side of the ball, I mean, what's not to like? It's Denver. They're like team fantasy, beyond team fantasy, right? We already know Peyton's going to throw for three bills. We know Demaryius Thomas, 100 yards, touchdown. We know Wes Walker. I'm sure they're going to make it a point to make Wes Walker the stud this week against his old team that kind of stick it to Tom Brady. So I would look for Wes Walker to have a big day. And then, you know what I mean, Eric Decker, them boys, I don't think there's no stopping them this year. I think they win the Super Bowl. Honestly, I think they're going to win the Super Bowl. But I think from a fantasy aspect, all three of those guys are going to have big days. No Sean Marino. I even think another guy that I didn't even want to say, but he's been kind of into No Sean's touchdowns is Monty Ball. Monty Ball,
right.
The last 2 weeks, has had a lot of touchdowns down in that red zone where he's been breaking off 10 to 15-yard runs. So I didn't even think about Monty Ball. If I was desperate for a flex guy, I would look at maybe Monty Ball this week. So what do you got for us, FSP?
Fantasy, goodness. Everything on the offensive side of the ball on both sides of the team. On the defensive side, Devin McCourty and Aqib Talib are your guys. Now, I don't know if Aqib is playing or not. I know he got injured. But I think he might be playing. But those are the only two defensive players I would pick for this. Opposite, Danny Trevathan and Mr. Woodyard. Those two guys have been IDP studs. I mean, you're playing everybody offensively on both these teams. This should be a shootout. Unless Belichick decides to come out and run and throw the ball to Shane Vereen and LeGarrette Blount. Stephen Ridley, yeah, he's in the doghouse this week. I don't know exactly what's the reasoning, but if you saw last Monday night's game, Shane Vereen was targeted a lot in the passing game. A lot. To the point where people were wondering where was Gronk at. Gronk didn't get a pass to the second half. So Shane Vereen, Gronk, Amendola, I don't even care about Hopkins. I ain't going to lie to you. I don't care about Hopkins or Dobson. I really don't because they get the scraps. But other than that, now I know Jerry said that Thomas might not play a tight end. So that means Jacob Tammy or one of the other tight ends for Denver might be in line for a good game. But that also means Wes Welker will have – you can't forget Wes. He's going against his old team. He's a slot guy. He leads him in touchdowns. Wes Welker might get $150 and 5 touchdowns in this game. Just to rub it in Belichick's face.
I'm telling you, I think so.
Yeah.
So that's
yeah.
My thought on that.
All right.
All right.
We go to the last game on Monday night with about 6 minutes left before 1 o'clock. Here we go with Colin Kaepernick. This is probably one of the last remaining games that you would play Colin Kaepernick effectively, and it's against the Washington Redskins defense. which is extremely bad. And I hate to tell you, Vic, but you know that. You play Frank Gore, which without a doubt he's going to. Let me put it this way: Colin Kaepernick, Frank Gore, Vernon Davis, and even, in my opinion, Anquan Boldin are going to burn these guys to the ground. I hate to say it, but that's what they're going to do. So what's going to happen? Alfred Morris, in my opinion, is going to run the ball because San Francisco defense can be run on. But I think early in the game, Alfred Morris is going to be able to run the ball effectively. But because the results of being points being put up on the board, Robert Griffin is going to have to throw the ball more, which is going to take away from Alfred Morris. And that puts it on Pierre Garçon. Jordan Reed is not going to be playing. More than likely, Fred Davis is going to take his spot, but I don't expect too much from Fred Davis. So only fantasy goodness I see here from Washington is Robert Griffin III, if he can survive the pass rush from San Francisco, and Pierre Garçon. I'm going to Vic, and then end it with Reverend Fantasy.
Well, you know I love my team. You know I love my team.
Someone got to love them.
The turmoil that's happening in D.C. is on the political level, you know, with the skin. So offensively, Alfred Morris has got to get going. They have to give him the ball. They have to. I think they need to come out in some more traditional offensive sets, and that way teams will be like, okay, well, they're in a ace formation. They're in a 22 package, two tight ends, two receivers package, and run the boot off of that to get them loose. Because right now, Team C, we're going to do the read option. So they're going to attack, 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 and then keep four back. So, you know, I don't
know. Time is short.
Alden Smith. And the rest of those guys are going to have a good game, but Vernon Davis is going to be the star of the game. Homecoming, two touchdowns, Vernon Davis. That's all I got. Go ahead.
All right, let the rest spit one more little rhyme real quick. Like you said, I think Washington, I think Mike Shanahan's a lame-duck coach. I think he's fired at the end of this year. I think it's just politics, I guess, because even in D.C. with all the politics that politicians play, it's worn off on those guys. I don't see them doing much from a fantasy aspect this weekend against that Niners defense. But I think from the fantasy aspect of the 49ers, this is the game Kaepernick gets back on track. I think he's going to have a huge day running the ball, throwing the ball. And I think Frank Gore is going to just beast out. And I think that Washington has no answer for that. Like you said, JT, I think the key players for the Niners on their skill set, I think this is where they get back on track offensively this week.
Okay. With that being said, I want to thank the Reverend Fantasy for joining us and finally debuting on my show. I appreciate that.
ACT, no problem, man.
I want to appreciate my founder. I always acknowledge him. He's a good friend, Mr. FSP, Vic. For also joining up, and this was a very enjoyable 2 hours, almost 2 hours, and we must do it again sometime. With that being said, tune in next week, same place, same bat station, and I'll be here again with the master plan, trying to help you win your fantasy week and hopefully win your fantasy championship as you go into the playoffs. Enjoy the weekend, enjoy the games, and we are out.
Let's go. Ain't no room for hesitation up in here. It's time to leave it on the field, because it's game time. It's time to make your hard work pay off. Make your mom and dad proud. Make your opponent pay the price. It's time to step up and get it done, son. You go hard or you go home. From the first whistle to the last, bring it all day, every play.